All right. What did we start talking about last week? Oh, yeah, somebody's paying attention. Or at least they can read, right? Well, as we get started today, we're looking at being and making disciples. And last week, as I began, I told you that that is one of the core beliefs that we have here at Mountain View Christian Fellowship. And if you look on our website and you look at who we are and then what we believe, one of the things in there is that the church has a mission. It's got a mission to seek and to save. Now, can the church save? No, only Jesus saves. Only God saves. But the church needs to be involved. The church has to be involved in the seeking and in bringing them in to let Jesus save them. And we believe that the church is the body of Christ, and it consists of people. The church is not our building, right? The church is not this building. The church is all of you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you are part of the church, all right? And so throughout time, God has redeemed many, many people. And so we believe that regardless of what denomination you belong to or where you got saved or how it comes to be, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you're part of the church, right? Okay, good, good. And so today, we know that we've been given a mandate by God Himself to make disciples. You go, really? Oh, yeah, well, yeah. You know, Jesus said some things, and God has said things all through the Scriptures that tell us that we are to make disciples, that we are to bring people to God. And so last week we looked at Mark. There are two places where Jesus says basically the same thing, probably the same time, but you know, writers hear different things, but these two writers heard the same thing. And so when we look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower." Now, how many of you think at that point that Jesus had a lot of people that wanted to be his follower? He's fed thousands of people. He's done countless miracles. There's been all kinds of healings. People are figuring out that this is a good place to hang around. Okay? They think, okay, this guy's all right. I like him. And then he says something like this. He says, if you want to be my disciple, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Right there, I'm starting to check out. I'm just saying, that's who I am. Right there, uh-oh. Do I want to listen to the next sentence or not? And then it gets worse. And then he says, you must give up your own way, take up your cross. Well, I don't have a cross. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, trust me, you'll have a cross. And he says, take up your cross and follow me. And then he says this, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you keep up your life, but if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of, what's it say? Good news. What's the good news? The good news is Jesus, isn't it? The good news is that I have come to rescue the world. He says, if for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Now, we know that after this point and after a couple of other statements like eating my flesh and drinking my blood, it says that he lost many disciples. But God has called us to be his disciples. And as I look around this room today, I think I see lots of disciples. I know I see lots of disciples, right? You guys are disciples. Yeah, I know that. Been there, done that, seen that. Yeah. But then, on top of being his disciples, and so we're to be his disciples, but then this is what he also says in Matthew 28, 19. He says this, therefore, whenever you see therefore, do you know what you're supposed to think? Now. Okay? Therefore. No. Now. Not later. Not next week. Not last week. Therefore means now. Now go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he goes on and says some of the things that we will do. But We have been mandated by Jesus, by God, to go make disciples, to be a disciple and to make disciples. All right? So we're going to be looking at, over the next few, how about years? Really? Because I don't think that we ever attain to that perfection that God is calling for here on the earth. Can I get an amen? If any of you are perfect, I want you to come up right now and preach. None of us are perfect except our Father in heaven, who's perfect. And this is what he says, though, that Jesus has called his disciples to do what he calls us to do, to follow him for the purpose of becoming more like him. Okay? We are to become like him. We are, there used to be a show on, I can't remember what it was, but, you know, it talked about they act the same, they talk the same. Patty Duke, there you go. You know, I am dating myself, I know that. But there were twins, okay, and they were supposed to do everything the same. Well, you're to be a twin kind of with Jesus. You're to act like Jesus, be like Jesus, speak like Jesus, not like Patty Duke, okay? You and I, from the very beginning, were designed to be a physical representation of the Almighty God. He says in Genesis 1 that he created us in his own image. Well, turn to somebody right now and say, wow, you look like God. Hey, I'm taking it from the good book, okay, you guys? It's in here. We were made in the image of God. And as Christ followers, we have been called to be disciples, to become like Christ, to act like Jesus acted, but not just on the outside, but also it has to start on the inside. If you try to start on the outside and just try to act good, you're going to get caught. Been caught many times in my life. It has to start on the inside. He promised to make us a different person. He promised that we would not just appear as a different person, but we would be a different person. And we looked at this last week, that 2 Corinthians 5:17, that says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. You know, I've had people in my past that have tried to say, yeah, things will change. Some things will change. No, God wants to change everything. He wants to take everything that I have that's of any worth and turn it into what he wants. And then he wants to take all the garbage I have and turn it into what he wants. Because he wants a whole new person in me. And here again, we see God making the point that you and I were called to be the voice, the hands, the feet of Jesus. And then he says this, and I like this because this comes back to what the mandate is about. He says, and all of this is a gift from God. Being made new is a gift from God. Being set free from our sins is a gift from God. We have an amazing gift from our Heavenly Father. And then he says this, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task. We have been given a task, you guys. It's a task. Do you know, I was speaking with someone this week, and they were saying how they needed some money, but they weren't doing their chores, and so they weren't getting their money. If you have a task and you don't do your task, you don't get your money. You don't get paid, right? When I was a kid, I used to get 10 cents a week for getting my chores done. Or my family just didn't have that much money. That was more like it. But we knew this place where you could get penny candy still, right? And so 10 cents went a long way in that store, I'm going to tell you right now. But see, God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. There's a mandate there. We're called to be disciples. We're called to disciple people. And the more we commit to becoming a disciple, the more we act and we talk like Jesus, we find out and we become aware that God is indeed at work in us. This morning in our prayer time, somebody brought up the fact that sometimes we go through things to learn things. Well, that's going to be part of my message this morning. But James, reiterating some of what we talked about last week, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Great joy. Troubles and joy are not the thing that I would put in the same sentence. But that's what James is saying. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and need nothing. Those are some pretty amazing words from the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus. Okay. Last week, we kind of ended with this, but that God, He is the initiator of all true life change. It's not us. We respond, but it's not us. The one who does the actual changing in us is God, is the Holy Spirit at work in us. See, God took the initiative to introduce power into our life for changing us into His image. And we are able to become a disciple and the power to share. Acts 1:8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me. Are you getting the idea that we've been given a mandate that we need to tell people about Jesus? We don't get to just sit on the sidelines, you guys. Now, does that mean that you're out on every street corner yelling at people that they need to repent and be baptized? I've seen it happen. I haven't seen it be very effective, but I've seen it happen. If that's your calling, I'm going to pray for you. I have this ministry, my wife has this ministry, where we like to sit and have coffee with people and share. Other people do it other ways. We got a gal in the church that loves to go door to door. She loves it. God's blessed it. Maybe you want to join her. See, He is the initiator of all true life change in us. The second, and this is what we'll pick up today, that God is the sustainer of all real life change. It's God who sustains us. It's God who begins the change, and then it is Him that continues that change, that sustains that real life change. And if we look at Philippians 1:6, Paul says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." All right. Now, sometimes if you're like me, I got to wait then. I got to wait till then to get completely good. Yeah, you know why? Because I live in a sinful body, in a sinful world. And as hard as I try to be God's voice, God's way, do God's things this way, Steve still has a little bit of Steve in him. And so we get to know, we know now that He continues to work on us until the day we go to heaven. How cool is that? How cool is that? That's really cool. Guess what? God will never give up on you. Russell said that this morning. God will never give up on us. His dad did not give up on him. His dad didn't know what to do with him. Our Heavenly Father knows what to do with us, though, because He's a good God. And He never gives up. He will never walk away in disgust. I have walked away in disgust at times when I've been listening to something that I couldn't deal with, one of my children or somebody that came to me. But God doesn't. He does not walk away in disgust. He will never quit on us. How many of you are glad for that? I am. There's a large portion of my life where I thought I was okay. And my wife would tell you I wasn't. I don't think she knew what she was talking about, but actually she did. And she still loved me. She didn't quit on me either. But look at this. For God has said, I will never leave you, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. God is good. He is so good. He is the sustainer. He's the one that continues to change us into what we have been called to be. He is our corrector when we get off course. How many of you have ever gotten off course? Yeah. You know, my friend Russell preached a sermon one time. And he brought up his carpenter belt and he had his tools all in there. And he goes, you know, you can, if you are not straight on, if you are not exactly where you're supposed to be, 1 degree makes a big difference. Now, in my line of thinking, when I build things, 1 degree doesn't matter. Okay? But do you know if it's a really long board, what 1 degree does at the other end? It doesn't match. It doesn't line up. 1 degree. So you think, I'm okay. I only struggle with this one tiny thing in my life. Well, you know what? That one tiny thing in your life is going to make a difference. Don't get off 1 degree. God is our corrector, and he keeps us on course. I like this from Hebrews 12. It says this, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? Now, that's pretty good. I like that already. I'm listening. And he said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Uh-oh. I liked it to that point. Hebrews 12:5, he said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. You know, I have seen so many times when people, God begins to deal with them, begins to deal in their life, and probably I'm looking at myself when I say this the most, but God begins to change me, and then discipline comes. You know, since I was a kid, I haven't liked discipline. How many of you have liked discipline? Okay, good. I'm really happy about that. Now, Riley would say, yes, I like discipline because it helps. I keep running. I'm a disciplined runner. But I've also seen Riley on those days when it was nasty outside and he didn't really want to run and he didn't think discipline was good that day. But you know what? He did it anyway. Because he knows what discipline does. And it says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. Why? Because in verse 6 he says this, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. Did you guys know that? Did the front row know that? That the Lord disciplines those he loves. Yeah, okay, thumbs up, finally, okay. All right. Oh, over here. Sorry. Front row. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Does the Lord punish us? Apparently, because it's in there. It's in the Word. It's in my Bible. You know what? If you despise the Lord's correction and you don't want to go after the Lord's correction, I'm wondering if he accepts us as his child at that moment. We're still his kids, but he accepts us as his child when we let him work in our lives. And you know what? He'll do anything to get you back to that place. Be careful. That's the discipline he's talking about. I know my kids have not liked this, but When my kids were teenagers and began to show that they were spawned from the earth, and every one of them at the age of 14 thought it was their time to flip out, I began to pray for my children. God, do not kill them. Please protect them. Please put your angels around them. But do whatever it takes to bring them to where you want them. You know how hard of a prayer that is for a daddy? It's not an easy prayer. But see, that's God's heart. And he will do just about anything to get our attention when we're not walking in the right direction. The Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes each one he accepts as his child. And then he says this through James, and he gives grace generously. See, even when he disciplines us, he gives us grace. He gives us his grace generously. In other words, tons of his grace. You know, my wife is gracious to me, but God's even more gracious than she has been to me. And as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I know this to be really true because pride was one of the biggest sins in my life as a young man, as a Christian. I still every day have to put that one at the cross, at the foot of Jesus. Because Steve used to think that Steve could accomplish anything. But Steve can't. See, God disciplines us for the purpose of changing our lives so that we can be holy as he is holy. Isn't that cool? Well, we can never do that. Well, no, but you know what? The Word says that we are to be holy as he is holy. That's the Word. See, God allows us to live with the consequences of our choices so we can learn from them. Young people, learn. You don't have to go through as many as I went through if you learn sooner than later. God does not spoil us. We like to spoil ourselves, though, don't we? I do. I like to spoil my grandkids. I'm even at an age now where I like to spoil my kids again. You know? I want to bless my kids. I want to spoil them. But God, he doesn't spoil us. God blesses us, but he doesn't spoil us. God chooses to help us to learn. See, Satan wants to use our messes to defeat us and make us give up. But God uses our messes as opportunities to train us to be more like him, to change us to be more like Jesus. See, God is good. God is faithful. He will get our attention, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. See, Jesus is the ideal that God is changing us into. We cannot compare ourselves to each other, but only to Jesus. He is our example. First Peter 2 says this, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ has suffered for you. He is our example, and you must follow in his steps." There will be things that we have to do, that God will do to put us in a place to grow and to learn and to bless somebody else. And there may be some suffering involved. We Americans love to suffer. We like it when it takes 5 minutes to go through the drive-thru instead of four. We just love to suffer. No, we don't. But Christ is our example. He suffered. If he suffered, I've heard that if he suffered, we don't have to suffer. You know what? I don't find that in Scripture. Yeah, we'll go there in a minute. Jesus said this, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. That's Jesus. Those are great words. You see Jesus do something in Scripture? Well then, we better do it. Did he knock on your heart and say, I want you to go talk to that classmate at lunch? You know what? That's probably God, because it's probably not us, right? I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. See, Paul said that we have got to grow up to become more like Jesus. I do, you do. In fact, as your pastor, I've been tasked to help you grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Doesn't let me off the hook. In fact, it says that I'm in a little more trouble if I don't do that. But you know, I see a church that loves Jesus. I see a church here that loves people. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for you guys. See, God uses Jesus as the measuring rod to gauge our maturity. Not ourselves, not other people, not our own standards. Jesus is the one that we want to measure ourselves against. You know, there are things that I am a little bit jealous of in other people. You know, I see a gift or I see an attitude and I think, dude, that is so cool. I would love to have that. We don't get to measure ourselves against other people. We measure what God has done in us. We're not all meant to do the same thing the same way. Life would be really boring. Like, if all of you guys like motorcycles, there'd be too many motorcycles on the road. I'm glad some of you don't like motorcycles. Don't measure yourself against somebody else. Don't measure yourself against your own standards. Sometimes we have our own standards that we set that aren't the right standards. I look in the scripture and I see the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were living by their own standards. And what did Jesus say? He called them some pretty nasty names, because they might have been living by rules, but they weren't living the way Jesus said to live. I wonder sometimes if we are even aware of what God might be doing in our lives to make us more like Jesus. Having looked at some of the verses we just looked at about some suffering, sometimes we don't think suffering is for Jesus. Well, it's not. It's to make us more like Jesus. We need to open our eyes and see what God is doing. He's doing something. He's doing something right now in us. He's doing something right now in Asbury College. Hopefully that spreads all over the world. Believing that God will have another awakening before he comes back, people will have an opportunity to say yes or no to Jesus. But we need to open our eyes and see what God is doing. Jesus spoke about this when he quoted Isaiah, saying that people would hear but not understand. They would see but not comprehend because their hearts were hard. Jesus wanted us to be those that heard and understood, saw and were able to comprehend, and then willing to obey. The disciplined and spiritual life begins and ends with God, but we are not called to be passive in the process. Okay? We're not called just to sit there and see what God will do. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we get to just sit and soak. But look at Philippians 2:12, and he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." That's a pretty, I wish somebody would write me that kind of a letter. "Oh, beloved, you've always obeyed." I haven't always obeyed. Although it kind of is a letter to me because it's the word, isn't it? "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only." In other words, you know, it was always easy for me to be good when nobody was around. It was easy for me to be good when nobody was around. There was nobody to judge me. "But now, how much more in my absence? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know, sometimes we look at that and we see, oh, see, we got to do something for our salvation. No, salvation is the free gift of God. But continuing to work out what God started, that's the working out. And then he says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." That's pretty cool. God wants to put his will and his good pleasure into our lives. We have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. See, God is in the process of changing us from the inside out. We cannot do it. It must be in his power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we come to Jesus and then we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to work in our lives. We cannot do it. It's his power. It's God who works in us. Paul just said, "As you have obeyed." That obey is an interesting word. It means to hear or to listen, okay? And then it's an attitude of willingness to respond properly. How many of you have responded without being proper about it? I have. Fine. Yeah, that's my... I know when I'm in trouble when my wife says, "Fine." Fine. She says, "Fine." Uh-oh. What did I miss? Uh-oh. Yeah, a little insensitive there, wasn't I, God? Yeah. See, God is at work, and he wants us to be hearing. He wants us to be listening. He wants us to be aware of what he is doing. God is at work, and if we're willing to see it, we'll understand it and comprehend it. Do you have a willingness to step with, do you have a willingness to get in step with what God is doing? It's a question for your heart. It may be that God is revealing an area of pride in your life. Or a spiritual blind spot. Maybe a temptation or a pattern of sin that you don't seem to be able to get past. No matter what it is God who is showing you and wants to be part of the solution because his desire is to work in us for his will and good. It is good. We can't do this on our own. We We need to live in a yielded way. Expect God to show you something about Him and who He wants you to become. He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to pattern Himself after Him, because if we do this, it will cause great joy in our life. Sometimes I think we think that when we go through these things, it's just because we're being disciplined and we have to go through it. I'm going to tell you, though, every time I've gone through something and I've done it God's way, there is great joy that comes afterwards. See, I think the journey with Jesus becomes an adventure when we begin to become more like Him. It removes boredom and instills an excitement in our walk with Him. You know what? You can only watch so many episodes of Monk before you get bored. Okay, we learned that during lockdown, okay? We learned that there really are no good shows on TV during lockdown. Can't watch that. Oh, can't watch that. Oh, can't watch that. Don't want to watch that. Let's see what Paul says about being in step with God. And I'm not going to read all of this, but I want to read a few things out of Galatians chapter 5. And he says, and at the top of it, it says, and you don't have this, so don't try to find it, Kurt. He says, it's living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's what my Bible says. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Do you know that when that sinful nature is always craving things it shouldn't have? You know that? It just does. And then he says this. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly at odds. And then he lists the sinful nature. And we won't read them all, but you know, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires and pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. And then it goes on and on and on and on. But then, this is what Paul says. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of stuff. This is what the Holy Spirit produces. The Holy Spirit produces, what are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those nine things. Isn't that cool? He produces this fruit. The Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then Paul says, you know what? There's no law against any of those things. There is a law against all the sinful stuff that goes on in our lives. But there is no law against what the Spirit does in us. So I would ask you this morning, do you want to get in step with God? Let's get in step with God. Let's get in step with His Spirit. Let's begin as disciples, and we know as disciples it is not always going to be easy. We know that there will be trials. We know that there will be things that we go through. Do we continue to go through them? Yeah. Now, this isn't in Scripture. I don't see where it was in Scripture, but I was watching The Chosen this week, and Jesus is sending the boys out two by two, and they're freaking out. He goes, you're my disciples, and then he says, oh, you're my apostles even. I'm not sure he said that, but he was saying, you've got some goods here. Now, why did they have the goods? Because of themselves? No, he says, he said to these guys, he says, I'm sending you out because I can't be everywhere all the time. And you are going to be Jesus. You are my disciples. You are going to do. And they started to get bent out of shape because they kind of been enjoying this thing that they've been doing with Jesus. All the miracles, all the feedings. And he says to them, don't take money. Well, how am I going to stop at McDonald's? Don't take two coats, just take the one. Don't take a tent. Well, where are we sleeping? Even Motel 6 is, you know, costs a little bit. He's saying to them, I want you to be like me. And then it, a little bit later, little John comes up to Jesus because little John has been healed. And he begins to tell little John that in his affliction, the joy that he has, even in his affliction, even in what's going on in his life, will be a ministry to other people. I wish we all got to have an easy life. And compared to the rest of the world, we really do in many ways. But compared to the United States, we suffer sometimes. We go through stuff. But you know what? It's for the glory of Jesus. It's to make us more like Him. So I want to ask you, are you willing to get in step with God? I think that in these times that we are in right now, God is calling a people to separate themselves and be holy, to be praying for our families, for our nation, for one another. We've been called for a time such as this. God knew I would not be very good at lion's dens. He put me in the 21st century. I kind of like that. But you know what? He put me here to use me. He's put you here to be used by Him. Let's stand. I don't know about you, but man, God's been messing with me as I study for these lessons. He wants to make me like Jesus. And I know His goal is to make you like Jesus. And as your pastor, I'm praying that God will not kill you, but He will do whatever it takes to make you His disciples. Because we have a world that needs to know about Jesus. We have family members that need to know about Jesus. We have next door neighbors that need to know about Jesus. They trust in other things, but they're not happy. They don't have joy. We do. Father, I thank You today that You are in the house. I thank You today that You care about every person in this building right now. God, I know that You care about who they become, and Your goal is that they would become like Jesus. Their goal is that they would become like Jesus, I pray right now. I pray, God, that You would turn our hearts to You, that You would turn our hearts to other people. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments were to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. God, help us in that. Help us to be Christ followers who are Christ-like, who speak like Christ, think like Christ, and act like Christ. God, I ask right now that You would go to every person's heart and that You would show them how much You love them. but how much you want them to be like Jesus and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I ask God that you would begin to move them in directions that do that step by step each day. I pray in your name now.